They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Jonesing for the Journal.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The man who owns Fox News and MySpace also wants to own the Wall Street Journal. Yesterday, Rupert Murdoch made a surprise $5 billion bid for Dow Jones, the company that owns the venerable newspaper. But Dow Jones' controlling shareholders said they would block the deal. Joe Bonner is an analyst with Argus Research. He takes a stab at Murdoch's motives here.
Well, I think it's probably tied into the launch of their financial news network later on this year. I would say that would be the strategic purpose behind it, and that they can probably take those brand names. I mean, Wall Street Journal, Dow Jones are both highly reputable brand names in the financial news area. I guess we might be looking at a Wall Street Journal channel coming up.
Murdoch's bid sent shares of Dow Jones up 54%, and that gave Wall Street a lift. The Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed 73 points to 13,136. The NASDAQ was up 6 points to 2531. The S&P 500 gained 3 to 1486. Asian stocks put on close to a percent today. European shares opened higher as well. The U.S. isn't alone in its dispute with China over piracy. The European Union and Mexico have asked to join a couple of World Trade Organization complaints against the Chinese. But the U.S. might not benefit from this development. Jeff Tyler explains.
In two piracy cases before the World Trade Organization, the U.S. alleges China doesn't do enough to punish those who illegally copy films and music, while it also blocks access to Chinese markets. Professor Lon Sobel at Southwestern Law School says having the European Union and Mexico on our side won't likely sway the Chinese.
The policymakers in China will feel all of the pressure that they're able to feel simply as a result of the U.S. claim.
With Americans buying billions of dollars worth of Chinese-made products, he says the threat of U.S. tariffs alone should worry China. Why are Mexico and the EU getting involved?
They could impose tariffs as well on Chinese-made goods.
Chinese leaders are reportedly upset that the issue was sent to the WTO, saying the move could damage trade relations. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, celebrating women and women's health. Information and resources on women's health issues available at womenshealth.gov. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, online at kauffman.org.
Yesterday, President Bush vetoed a spending bill for the war in Iraq. He's mainly opposed to a timetable in the bill for U.S. troop withdrawal. Bush calls that telling the enemy when you're leaving. Commentator Ben Stein says there's another way to end the war.
Here's how it goes. The nightly news grimly reports that the terrorists in Iraq or Afghanistan have detonated a bomb that has killed 7 American soldiers. A few seconds later, the announcer says that the Dow closed at yet another record high, and we see men and women cheering at the rostrum of the New York Stock Exchange. This combination of stories tells us exactly what's wrong here in the U.S. of A. The nation is not fighting the war on terrorism. The nation is partying hardy and living it up, at least the high end of the nation money-wise. The word sacrifice never even comes up. The grunts and jarhead Marines who don't get a hot meal for days on end and who sleep in their Humvees and never get a night without being mortared or sniped at, they're fighting the war. The women whose husbands come home in a box or not at all, the kids who will never see mom or dad again, the parents who invested a lifetime in bringing up their kids right and will never see those kids again, they're fighting the war. Look, our enemy is united against us. If we keep acting as if we can win this war just by sending over the other guy's son or daughter while we pay attention to our tax cuts in the stock market, we're on a long, disastrous downhill slide. Instead of all that cheering on Wall Street for the already rich getting even richer, let's see some solidarity with the guys whose blood and lives defend our economic interests around the world, safeguard the oil supply, maintain Pax Americana, at least to some extent. The military builds the wall. Wall Street and the whole economy play games behind. Let's start thinking about a draft where the children of the investment bankers might even have to go fight. This might concentrate our thinking about the war considerably and might make us a bit more cautious next time. Right now, the frantic make of money here at home while the other guy's kid gets his head blown off in Ramadi is not a pretty picture.
Ben Stein is an actor, writer, lawyer, and economist. We're always hearing that our lives are speeding up, getting more frenetic. But here's some proof. A new study says we are walking faster. Our European correspondent Stephen Beer joins us from London. Stephen, are they serious about this?
Yes, life in the fast lane is getting faster. Research by a British university, which has gone to the trouble of measuring the speed at which pedestrians cover 60 feet of sidewalk. It has indeed revealed that pedestrians all over the world are walking about 10% faster than a decade ago. And there does actually seem to be a clear correlation here between walking speed and economic growth, because the sharpest acceleration in walking speeds has been in China and Singapore.
And how does this affect our lives?
Adversely, it would appear. Walking faster, particularly in cities, doesn't seem to be particularly good for health. Researchers say that it indicates people are more stressed, they're more hurried. So even though they are walking faster, their health doesn't appear to be benefiting.
So you mentioned a couple of places where people are walking fast. What other cities really made the list?
We've got Dublin in fifth place. However, New York is eighth and number two. Now, this is really bizarre. Copenhagen, not what you'd think of as one of the fastest cities on the planet, but Copenhagen is number two in the list.
How much stock are you putting in this whole thing?
not a huge amount. I mean, the researchers have compared these statistics that were gathered. Faster walking is not a sign of physical good health.
All right, let's just take a deep breath and slow down. Stephen Beard in London, thanks.
Gotta run.
And in Los Angeles, where nobody walks, I'm Scott Jagow.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.